Ok, la Brisai. So last week we were Oymed on a tremendous plea in the second parak in Yeshua on the whole idea of sending the Miraglim. What was Yeshua's cheshbon altogether sending Miraglim? Especially since the first mission was a complete failure, L'chayre. The original Shiluch Miraglim was a failure to unbelievable proportions. It was tragic. So we went through the Duben HaMagid, a little bit of an explanation, a little bit of a pshat. But this week I'm going to share with you another mahalach to understand what was behind the sending of the Miraglim. And with that we could also understand Part B, which we brought up last week. The Miraglim are going to Eretz Yisrael. This is their stepping foot into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Kolev, it was his second time. According to Chazal, this was Kolev and Pinchas. These two Miraglim, they're not identified in the Psukim. But according to Chazal, it's Kolev and Pinchas. Those are the two Miraglim. Pinchas, this is his first time stepping foot into Eretz Yisrael. Right? So you go to a chashuv place. What did Kolev ben Yefuneh do when he went to Eretz Yisrael? I'm sure the Eilim remembers from Parsha Shlach. Kolev ben Yefuneh, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, Chazal teaches he stopped by the Moros Machpelah. There are a lot of Jews who go now. Parsha Chayisov. Go to Moros Machpelah. Yeah? They go to Moros Machpelah. Why? Kivrei Avos. People go to the Kosel Maravi. So we asked the Pella, where do Miraglim end up? By Rochav Azoina? They end up in the lowest place? Mamish, the low of the low? How do we understand such a thing? How do we wrap our heads around it? Now granted, we don't have to say that that's where they wanted to end up. But Lamaisa, are you talking that that's where the Taka ended up? The Miraglim ended up there. Now I'll read you a chazal that praised the Miraglim, these two Miraglim, tremendously. It's the Medrash Rabban Parsha Shlach. The Medrash Rabban says as follows: Ein chachovu lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing more beloved to Hashem kishliach shemishtalach la'asos mitzvah, a shliach who goes to do a mitzvah. And he gives his whole soul, his moisa nefesh, to succeed. And the Medrash says, what's an example? Says the Medrash Rabban in Parsha Shlach, like these two Miraglim. Vayishlach Yeshua ben Nun Hashem Shnayim Mihoyu. So the Medrash Rabbah is telling us that Kolev and Pinchas were mamish moise nefesh, completely. They were moise nefesh for themselves, and they were zeicha, they were matzliach in their mission. That's the Medrash. So obviously the Medrash is doing two things. First of all, the Medrash is comparing them to the Miraglim that went in the time of Moshe. That they weren't Moshe Nefesh. They weren't Moshe Nefesh to do their Shlichus. And these two Miraglim were. That's one thing the Medrash is telling us. And then the Medrash is saying that Taka they were Matzliach. Which it sounds like the Medrash is giving us some background to understand why these Miraglim were Matzliach. What to me stands out in this Medrash is I don't understand exactly what was the big Mesiras Nefesh. Why these Miraglim, why were they Mesiras Nefesh any more than the first Miraglim? Same Mesiras Nefesh. It was just as dangerous of a mission. 12 guys is less dangerous than 2 guys. If anything, 12 guys are harder to hide. 2 guys is easier to get away with it. Right? 2 spies are easier to hide. I mean, the 12 weren't going to fight anybody. Right? The 12, if the 12 got caught, they were in hot water. And if the two got caught, they're also in hot water. And what's easier to catch? Easier to catch 12 guys. Right? For 12 guys to go inconspicuously is harder. So, what was the big... Chazal are telling us, you know what the difference is? These miraglim that Yeshua sent, Masru Nafsham. I think the first miraglim also misses that. What's the difference? Same. L'chair is the same thing. What was the difference in the Mesirus Nefesh? And that whole piece is missing in the Medrash. The main L'chaira, the main point that the Medrash is trying to teach us is missing in the Medrash. What was that? Where was the Mesirus Nefesh of these Meraglim? So I'll tell you, Gevaldik to hell. This Pesach Shabbos and Shul, I asked the Balabatim a Gevaldik Kasha. I'm open to any Tirutzim that the Olam has. It wasn't my Kasha. The Kadmonim has this Kasha. But if anybody has a Teretz, please tell me. You know, when a Kala goes to the Chuppah, they go to the Badekin, right? When they go to Badekin, I'm sure you've often seen, the Chosin covers the Kala with the veil, and then they give her brachas. Some people give the bracha before the Badekin. During that Maimah, they give a bracha to the Kala. Okay, usually it's after the Badekin. Chosin covers the Kala, and then the father gives a bracha, the Zayde gives a bracha if they have a Zayde there. What bracha are you supposed to give a Kala? Anybody know? Offhand? No? I mean, it's not, that's a nice bracha. But what's, there's a pasuk that they say. That what? That's a nice bracha, but that's not the pasuk that they say. There's a pasuk. Achoyseinu at hiyi la'alfei revavo. Our sister, you should multiply to be alfei revavo. Okay? Does anybody know where that pasuk comes from? This Pes Parsha. Who said it? Lavan! That's where you give a kala brocha, Lavan? Lavan's brocha? We have no better people to get a brocha from. A father gives his kid Friday night a brocha. Okay, at least he's giving a brocha. He's giving a brocha, Yankov Avinu. Yankov Avinu's brocha to Ephraim and Menashe. That's Yaakov's brocha, right? And Yaakov already said, B'choy Yivorach Yisrael. Why don't we say Kavom Yitzchak V'Yaakov? Good question. But at least it's a good bracha, coming from a good place. The Kala now is going to the Chuppah. The Chuppah is like Yom Kippur of Chas and Kala. The bracha you give is Lovin's bracha. That doesn't bother you. It's a pillar. Center! Well, looks there. Now that you got a chance to chill a little bit in the mountains, to take it in, Bozokste. Huh? That you could have told me before the vacation. I want to tell us. Nu, what does the iced coffee man tell us? With all the caffeine, come on, jolt it out there, Bozokste. Told him here's the pillar. Bozokste. You look very calm here. It's not a pella? What are you telling him? Give the kala bracha from Lovan? That's it? Like I said, it's not my kasha. Kadmonim is the kasha. There's all kinds of tirutzim. But the kasha on many of the tirutzim is, why do we need a bracha with a teretz? Just give a bracha, a good bracha. We don't really mean. Lovin was saying, Achoyseinu, you're my sister, you should be like me. Your kids should take after me. And we go to the Kala, we say, no. Achoyseinu, you're our sister. You're going to take care of our side of the family. That's like a typical debate, right? The kid's born, he looks like our side, he looks like our side. Usually kids don't look like either side when they're born. They look like a smashed tomato. Precious. Adorable. Kid comes out. They look like they were in a stomach for 9. They look the way you expect them to look. Yeah. Rabbi, I was up to you. No. Sure, it's a power. Nu, was auch mit dem Bnei Yitzchak, was auch mit dem. Hass! Was sagst du? Ha? Ha? Zabella. Nobody has pshat? Anyway, but I'll tell you another shtickle pella. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says that when Lavan gave the bracha to his sister, Achoseinu Atayi, you should be La'alfei Revovo, he was talking about the bracha that Avraham Avinu got in Har Moriah. Look at Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says that Lavan Arami was miskaven to the bracha that Avraham got on Har Moriah. Habe Habezarecho. That bracha that Avraham got by Har Moriah, that's what Lavan Arami was talking about. That also is a pella. That Lavan Arami, that Rosh Marusha, now at this moment is giving a bracha from Har Moriah. It's amazing. Taka amazing. That was pshat. That also needs clarity. So now I'll give you a bio. It really comes from the Ozrova. He doesn't talk about this specifically, but it answers this question as well. The Palgi Mayim, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, brings down, he also asked the question, why did Yeshua send Meraglim? He says as follows. He says, Hare Hashem Yisborach Omar li Yeshua ben Nun, Ata kum avor ha-yardin. Hashem guaranteed Yeshua ben Nun they're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. V'im kein, ma hoyo tzerech oy l'meraglim. What was the need for Meraglim? Anyway, see, he says a fascinating idea, which I want to connect to this whole parsha. He says when a person does an action, a negative action, it impacts the place. There's a Zohar HaKadosh like that. The Zohar HaKadosh says there was a place where somebody got murdered, and now that place had like hashpo of Ritzicha. I know somebody used to walk with the Chazon Ish on his long walks in Bnei Brak, and they would say that Bnei Brak was a place where Tanoim used to live. Sometimes the Chazon Ish would stop in the middle of the walk, and he would say, Dohot min geretin launen. Could you imagine? Here I could feel that they spoke in learning. Imagine? The Chazon Ish felt it. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that if somebody does a negative action, it impacts the place. The place gets impacted. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Rav Chiya Rav Yosef utzuchu la'avu b'midbar v'omol ha'madamecha lo yochu l'mokam pleini ki ba'oisei mokam hogu nefoshes b'Yisrael. That's what he says. The Chassam Sofer says even more than that. The Chassam Sofer in Parshas Maasai says, Hamokoim Goyrim. If you go to a place that something bad happened, the place has an impact on you. He says, Im nichshal odom b'shum aver me'averas. If somebody did an avera, somebody goes to a place, they did an avera, that place becomes degraded. When you go there, you get a little bit of an influence without even you knowing it. Without you knowing it. Just like if you go to a holy place, you could feel something special. He writes, the Chassam Sofer, Va'afilu im odom rak hirer avera. Imagine that, the Chassam Sofer says. Somebody went to a place and they were thinking about an avera. They were thinking about doing an avera. That also impacts the place. That's a negative impact. The Teferet Shlomo and many others, and I brought this down in the past, there's a fascinating chazal which you all know in Parshas Lech Lecha. Avram goes down to Mitzrayim. What does he tell Sarah Imenu? Everybody remembers the pasuk. Ata yadati kishi yifas mariat. Now I know that you're yifas mariat. So Chazal tells what he looked in the water. And he saw a reflection of Sarah. And he said, now I know you're a beautiful woman. And if we go to Mitzrayim, they're going to want to marry you. Imagine being married to your wife for 30, 40 years, and you tell your wife, ooh, now I notice that you look attractive. I'm giving you advice. Never do that. If you do that, you'll end up in the water yourself. Especially don't do it on a boat. It's a sakonic daily. So there's all kinds of alabata shakashas. How could Avram say he never saw his wife? You can't be Makadosh a woman without seeing her. Also, you learned it in Kiddushin, right? Can't marry a woman. Also, Makadosh Isha Shirena. You don't want to marry a woman until you see her. Famous kasha, all kinds of tilusim. The Teferet Shlomi says a gevaldig pshat. And I've said this in many different shiurim. Avada Avram Avinu knew what Sarah looked like. But Avram looked at Sarah the way Avram looks at Sarah. Not the way an Egyptian would look at Sarah. Avram looked at Sarah, he saw the bigger picture. Of course he knew she was a beautiful woman. Of course he knew she was Noshim Yafifei Shabailo. He knew it. But when Avram looked at Sarah, he saw Sarah Imenu. He saw a whole different idea. Like I mentioned to you before Shabbos, if you went to see how God will be Israel, you wouldn't walk away and say, oh, he's handsome. Not because he's not handsome. He could be very handsome. That's not what you notice. That's not what you see. You see the whole picture. See the bigger picture. Right? Avram, Vayeret Avram Mitzrayim, when he went down to Mitzrayim, he looked at Sarah and he was thinking, how would an Egyptian look at her? That's a different look. That's not the way Avram looks at his wife. That's a different look. I once wanted to say Avart. Could be that's why he looked in the water. Because Avram couldn't even look at his wife the way an Egyptian would look at her. Because whenever he saw Sarah, he saw Sarah, with all her, who Sarah was. In the water, just a reflection. There he was able to do it. But the point of the Teferet Shlomi is, when Avram went down, Vayerid, he went down, he had to go down a level to the Mitzrayim level to be able to look at it that way. Says the Ozrava that we know Eretz Kanani, Eretz Yisrael was full of terrible things. Terrible. Avodah Zorah, Znus, terrible. Avraham Avinu didn't want to take a shidduch from Eretz Yisrael. Right? Terrible. Now the Klal Yisrael, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. We needed to pre-cleanse it. Yeah? We needed to pre-cleanse it. We needed somebody should go there, tzaddikim, that when we go, we should be able to also feel something positive. Instead of just being confronted by all the grime and the garbage. Well, how about going to San Francisco? So the Meraglim had a mission. Their mission was to pre-conquer Eretz Yisrael, to give it the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That's a whole different type of trip. That was the trip of the Meraglim. And that was needed. That was needed to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's the pshat. And now we understand, says the Ozrava, this is already the Ozrava, says the Ozrava, that's why they ended up by Rochav. Hashem made that they ended up in the lowest part of Eretz Yisrael so they could cleanse everything. And Mamela, what happened with Rochav at the end? She was Mizgayah. She ended up marrying Yeshua Benu. That's a whole different madrega. That was the success of the miracle. And you could only have such success if you go in with complete Mesiras Nefesh. If they would have gone in, you know, with a chosh of the guys, with the tough guys, they were going in. Doesn't even say their names. Because they were completely selfless when they went in. So I wanted to say a vart. I gave a whole stickle on Eliezer. I'm not going to go through it now because we ran out of time already. But Eliezer Eben Avram, he was completely selfless. That's why in the whole parasha of the Shiduchim, it doesn't mention his name, not even once. Eved, Tzulis. He's completely selfless. And therefore, because Eliezer was completely selfless, he didn't get impacted by the environment. He was mala the environment. He lifted up the environment to such a degree that even Lavan was able to give a bracha like the bracha of Avram got in Hara Maria. You understand? Because when you go to a mission with the right Mesiras Nefesh, then you impact the environment positively. He raised up the environment. We know one of the reasons why we give a child a brocha, Yisimcha Lekim Kefrayim B'Chmanashe. Why do we pick Yisimcha Lekim Kefrayim B'Chmanashe? Why is that the brocha? Why do we pick that brocha? So amongst the many answers, why don't we say Yisimcha like the Shvatim? Why don't we say Yisimcha Kavram Yisimcha V'Yankiv? One of the explanations is that when you give a brocha to your son, right, you're not giving him a brocha that he should be a tzaddik when he's in the Beis Medrash. You're not giving him a brocha that he should be a good Jew when he's in the yeshiva. You're giving him a brocha wherever life takes you, you should remain who you are. Even when you're not in your environment. That's why Ephraim and Asher, they were brought up in the Golos. They were brought up in Mitzrayim. And they remained Ephraim and Menashe. They remained Ephraim and Menashe. Comes a father and he gives his son a brocha, Yisimcha Elohim Hashem should bless you, that you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. What brocha do we give a Kohen? That you should be able to raise and elevate every environment like Eliezer was able to raise Lavan to be able to say, Achoseinu Ati Ilal Firavavah. That you should have the bracha of Avram Avinu. And that's Taka the bracha we Taka give a Kala. Okay.